If you're able to stand, let's stand in honor of God's Word. Like that Smokey and the Bandit song, I've got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. That probably wasn't very edifying, but that is the truth. Romans chapter 7. We're going to begin our reading in verse 7. We're going to read all the way to verse 25. Now, here's what I want you to do. As we are reading, I want you to pay close attention, because the fact is, the Apostle Paul has written this from personal experience. He is writing his own testimony as a believer. Okay? Not necessarily an achiever. He's not achieved yet. But you get to the end of the chapter, he's an achiever. I just made that up. God wants to turn you from a believer to an achiever. Or an achiever believer. There we go. Anyways, so you're going to see this testimony here. And really, I would pose this question as we're reading it. You know you're a Christian if... I know, you got the redneck thing going in your head. I know. You know you're a redneck if your truck costs more than your house. Yes. I understand. So anyways, but what I want us to focus on here is, you know you're a Christian. You know you're a Christian if... Here we go. Let's begin a reading. What shall we say then? Verse 7. Is the law sin? Let's answer it. Oh, you're going to read the Bible. Good. I was just going to... Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Some of you are saying, I've been wondering where that concupiscence has been coming from. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear what? Working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become, what's the word? Sinful. That's right. See, God's telling us, to the believer, the word, the laws of God now make sin even more distasteful, even more unappealing, even more grievous. We read on. For we know that the law is spiritual. Now he's looking at the law as spiritual. It's not before he was saved as the standard for salvation, but it is spiritual. But I am carnal, sold under sin. That word carnal deals with the flesh. He's saying my flesh is sold under sin in the sense that it has a different master. It's purchased by the fall of Adam and Eve. The fall of Adam and Eve affected my body and your body, our nature, our first nature. And so he's talking about that. Verse 15, you know you're a Christian if, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, I've talked to people in counseling about this real quick. Somebody's so bogged down about their sin, about their failures, about their setbacks, about strongholds, and it bothers them, it grieves them. I say, praise the Lord! You know what that means? That means you believe the Word of God is true. It's real to you. That's a blessing. So there's victory there. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I can't wait to explain that, because you might think, see, my sin's justified. Let's read. No, it's not. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, next week is very important as we go into chapter 8. It will give more clarification. But we're going to zero in on verse 25. Because a person can read this and say, yeah, that's how I felt. I felt like that. I believe most real Christians, matter of fact, I may be able to say all real Christians, and I say that on purpose, have experienced this. This, I want to do right, and they fail. I want to do right. But we come to verse 25, and there are some verses, some words here that if we don't rightly divide the word of truth, somebody could get the wrong idea. So we need to clarify some things. I want to talk to you about serving God with your mind. With your mind. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts, minister to people, help me to be clear as I present your word. May you lead, guide, and direct everything I say, think, everything I think and say. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. My strength, my Redeemer. Bless the service. Minister to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I need to do this, number one. What does this text say and what does it not say? I want to cover this aspect. What does it not say? What does it say? Because we need to clarify this. Oh, by the way. Yep. Number one, it does not mean our sin is justified. Well, I serve God with my mind, it's just my flesh that sins. But I'm serving God with my mind. That does not justify your sin. Wrong answer. That won't fly. May the Spirit of God breathe light and breath into your heart and make you understand that is not what it's saying. God never gives you and I justification to sin. Never. Even after we're saved. It does not mean, well, I can still serve God. It does not mean that we sin and serve at the same time. You can't sin and serve God at the same time. I mean, you can be in the ministry working, but if you're sinning, friend. You're not serving God. No man can serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other, despise the one and cleave to the other. But nobody can serve two masters. And so it's very important that we understand this. So are you following me? I'm going to use a lot of, I would say, deductive reasoning here. So what the text does and does not say, it does not mean our sin is justified, but rather the reason we sin is clarified. The reason we sin is because I have a law in my members, my flesh. the law of sin that abides even after salvation. So that when I sin, it means I've been ruled or governed by that law. Basically means my body has ruled my mind. My appetites have ruled my logic. All right, we'll move on. I got two or three people saying amen. The rest of you, I'm not sure if you're with me. All right. What does it teach? It teaches we did not lose our sin nature after salvation. Now, I know this may sound redundant, and it seems like we've covered this topic to a degree the past 5 weeks. But this portion of the Scripture, the apostles making it very clear what salvation is and the process of how God changes His people and makes them righteous. And this is where a lot of false doctrine is propagated, because they do not understand the process of sanctification after salvation. If they study this and use the whole Word of God, I think it'd come clear. Because it's not hard if you study the whole Word of God. The apostle, speaking from an experience, he's a saved man. He says, I've struggled with sin. It bothered me. And then I realized I didn't get rid of my sin nature at salvation. When Jesus met me on the Damascus Road and the bright light shined and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, Lord, who art thou that I persecuted me? And then when I got saved, it didn't take me long to realize I still struggle with sin. I still struggle with the wrong appetites. I still struggle with the rebellious spirit. I still struggle with this, and we can name a number of things. And it bothered him. And we learn it does not, salvation, this text does not teach that you, or it does teach that we kept that old nature, but we did receive a new nature. It also, it teaches that we have a choice. We have a choice. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want to go to the next question. Why some Christians do not serve God? Or I could put it this way. Why are they not growing? See, there's no doubt in my mind that a going Christian is a growing Christian. Or I should put it this way, a growing Christian is a going Christian. I know there's lots of goers that they're not growers. They got a bad attitude, bad spirit. Why am I in the nursery? Got to change another diaper. Friend, man, you got a bad attitude. You're not being led by the Spirit of God. But if you're growing in the Lord, you'll serve. So why do some Christians not, why is it that some do not serve God? Well, their mind is in captivity. See, if I'm going to serve God, with the Lord being in my heart now, being a saved man, I have an option. I have a choice. And some people do not serve God because their mind is not being governed by the Lord. It's being governed, as I said, by their body, their fleshly appetites. Is everybody following me here? Okay. I need to teach. I got to teach here and explain this. I'll try to illustrate it if necessary here. I want to show you a verse. Do not lose Romans 7, but in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says this. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken what? Captive by him at his will. Why is it that some Christians do not serve? Because their mind is in captivity. Look back to Romans 7. Look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into what? Captivity. To the law of what? Which is in my... So, if you've ever had a stronghold or a sin that you felt like you couldn't get rid of, you've been taken captive. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2, the devil can take people captive. God's people captive. Hold them hostage. Why is it that some do not serve God? Because they're held captive. By the way, you can come to church and not serve God. It's a blessing. You're in the right place. But you can be held captive in your mind, so to speak, by the appetites of your body. They chose the pleasure of sin over the conviction of grieving the Savior. For a person to be held captive, a believer, for a Christian, someone who knows Christ as their Savior, for them to not serve God, one of the reasons could be because they're held captive, according to verse 23. Why are they held captive? Who's holding them captive? The Bible says they're members. And we know the spiritual force behind that is the devil, according to 2 Timothy 2. And so, how did they get in that place or that condition? Because the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't open the door and allow him to get in. Get a foothold in. Because you give him an inch, he'll take a yard. He'll rule. And so, how did that happen? Well, they must have allowed the appetite of the flesh that was sinful. There was a decision, a crossroad in their life where they knew this is right, this is wrong, but doing wrong feels so much better right now. I think I could enjoy the pleasure of this and deal with the conviction of disobeying my Savior. And so they do this, and in a sense they keep feeding themselves, keep the door open, because they think the pleasure of this sin is more gratifying than pleasing the Savior. And they think this gratification will outweigh the conviction of sin. And so they choose it. They choose it. And the devil says, oh, you're rejecting your Lord. Well, then I'll be your Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, 4 and 5 says, casting down every high thing and imagination that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience for Christ Jesus. The Lord wants to get you back and deliver you and make you captive of what is right. This can happen to believers. They have not experienced. Here's another reason why some do not serve God. They have not experienced the consequence for their sin yet. I read a quote from an old preacher, and I think the older folks might gather the term better. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind surely. And what that old preacher was saying is, just because you've not felt the full consequence of your sin yet, doesn't mean you won't. Coming home from Clay City a couple weeks ago, I read a quote on a church sign there. It says, don't mistake God's patience for His permission. Oh, I'm glad He's patient. But it doesn't mean He's permitting certain behavior. And He warns and warns and warns. The soul that sinneth, it will die. You say, you mean we can lose our salvation? Oh, no. The believer will experience consequence here in this life for their sin. The unbeliever will face the full impact consequence of their sin in the next eternal hell. By the way, that's exactly what Jesus Christ teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. A lot of people don't want to hear the Bible preaching because it deals with sin. By the way, sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts the nation. And so, why is it that some people do not serve God? Their mind is in captivity. Their thinker's not right. Their thoughts are being ruled by something else. The Bible says the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. I know people, and I'm sure you know people, who maybe at one time served the Lord. They were in church, but now they're so far gone, and it doesn't appear that they're even worried about it. They're not in church. They're smoking, drinking, living immoral lives, perverse lives. And you think, what is wrong? The backslider in heart. And they'll justify it. What's wrong with them? The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. They've not experienced the full consequence of their sin yet. They chose the gratification, and it, right now, it's working so-called as a salve to deal with their conviction. As long as they avoid the church and the Bible and the things of God, they can feel comfortable in it for a while. But if they're a child of God, the mills of God grind slowly but surely. And God, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. So, they've not experienced that. Or, finally, why is it that some Christians do not serve God? How about this? Look at chapter 8, verse 9. I'm going to skip ahead just for this once. Chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? They're not saved. Why is it that some Christians don't serve God? Well, their mind's in captivity. They've not felt the full impact, consequence of their sins. Payday hasn't come yet. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But they've not received their wage yet. I read a little article in the Sword yesterday about two farmers, an ungodly farmer and a godly farmer. Victor, you probably read this too. You remember this great little story. This ungodly farmer was a... He just was a blasphemer, and he wanted to challenge the godly farmer. Their land butted up against each other, and he says, I tell you what, let's make a deal. let's make a deal. You pray to God, you pray to your God, and if you have a greater crop than I do this year, then I'll believe you. And I'll curse God, and if I have a greater crop than you do, then we know who's right. Well, the other guy didn't even agree to it, but the ungodly farmer went his way, and lo and behold, the season, they sowed the ground, and come fall, they harvested, and you wouldn't believe it, the ungodly farmer had a greater harvest. He decided to do this. He decided, I'm going to let all the papers, let the whole community know what we did, the challenge. I want everybody to know there's no God. Well, the newspaper wrote all this down, and the newspaper concluded, God doesn't always pay in October. Funny how we think, well, God thinks like us. No, 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 no. God thinks exactly the way His Word tells us He thinks. And nobody, there's nothing hidden that will not be uncovered. Nothing. He that covereth his sin will not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh will find mercy. If you're a liar, if you're a cheat, if you're a thief, if you're immoral, it's going to catch you. It's going to catch you. You say, I didn't come to get preached at. Well, what are you doing in church? That's the kind of church. We preach the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God. I need this. I need it for me. You need it. We need the Word of God. So, you say, well, why is it some people don't serve God? I said, their mind's in captivity. Their sin hasn't been paid for. They've not experienced the full consequence for their sin yet. Or they're not even saved at all. The Spirit of Christ doesn't even abide in them. They don't even care. They're pretenders. Why do some Christians serve God? Well, we can do the opposite, but I'll give you these thoughts. He said, back in Romans 7, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. He went from being just a believer to an achiever in this sense. He came to a realization. I can't get rid of this old sinful nature. I'm stuck with this body till I die, until the Lord gives me a new one. I'm stuck with it. So how do I deal with it? With Christ, I can serve God in my mind. My mind can rule my body. My body doesn't have to rule my mind. And so, first thing I believe needs to take place, here's why some Christians serve God and others don't. Verse 24. The apostle said, "O wretched man that I am," or "wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" See that exclamation point? That's all inspired. Now here's what you got to get. Here's a saved man with the Spirit of God in his heart who's sick of sin ruling his life. And he is so sick of it. He falls back to the Lord Jesus and said, "I need help." The very first thing that needs to take place in a believer's life for them to be servants is they got to get sick of sin. And by the way, an unbeliever's not going to get sick of sin. Hello? They're not. But a believer will be. Someone with the Spirit of God in them, the Spirit of life. Someone who has the ability to quench the Spirit, to grieve the Spirit. It's not comfortable. And you come to the place where you say, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm sick of this life. I've done it my way, and it doesn't work. I've made my own decisions first without seeking the Lord. I've let little things bother me. I get offended so easy. I get a little rebuke and I get all disturbed." That's just a sign of immaturity. It's a sign you need to grow up. I'm sick of self ruling my life. Oh, wretched man. Friends, I remember when I first got right with God and started reading the Bible, and I read that, I thought, wow, I could have wrote that. Is anybody with me here? I thought, man, that's me right there. That's how I feel. I've wept, I've grieved over my sin. Oh, wretched, help me, oh God. And you come to verse 25, and if you don't watch it, if you don't understand it rightly, you can say, look, I've got relief because I can serve God with my mind, and, you know, that's just sin with my members. God, no, 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 no. He's saying serve God with your mind. Because your mind should rule your body. Because if you don't, your body will rule your mind. The weirdos that run around town at night looking for whoremongers and adulterers for a one-night stand, I'm telling you, friend, that's their body, sinful flesh, ruling their mind. Those who've got to go seek the alcohol and the drugs, that's their body ruling their mind. Those who can't take it when somebody has to correct them and they get upset and they get bitter and they hold bitterness, that's your body, that's self ruling over your mind. Paul said, "I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Now he's going to go into chapter 8. We're not touching on that yet. Why do some Christians serve God? Because the sin is so grievous. They have chose to obey God regardless of how they feel. They have come to the point in their understanding of the teachings of God's Word that right is always right, whether you feel right. Everybody follow me here. That person made me angry. That person was rude to me. That person slandered me. That person offended me. That person wounded me. I got a reason to be mad. I got a reason to be angry. I got a reason to get back at them. Spirit of God says, do you remember Ephesians 4:32? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, that's only talking about people I like. No. It's talking about everybody. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I don't feel like going to church today. Penny. Find a penny, pick it up. All the day you have good luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe it was on purpose. God wanted to find this penny. Anyways. Somebody says, I don't feel like going to church today. Their body says, I'm tired. But their mind says, it's right for a child of God to be with the people of God when they assemble themselves together around the Word of God. And so they come. They may yawn. They may pinch themselves to stay awake. But praise the Lord, with their mind they serve the law of God. With their flesh, things a lot worse than that, isn't it, honey? Don't record it. There's a lot of things. A lot of things we can do because we just know they're right to do, regardless of how we feel. And by the way, with Christ, you can do those things. Now, I've got to wrap this up. I'm going to be quick because of the time. If you have a pen and paper and you have not been taking notes, I would encourage you to jump in right now and take some notes. I want to give you three quick thoughts on how to help yourself in your service for God. Or I could put it this way, how to help your Christian growth. How to help yourself grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, the Apostle Peter said, grow in grace. I've mentioned this on Wednesday night. I don't know if I've mentioned it on Sunday morning. But you're never too old to grow in grace. You're never too knowledgeable to grow in grace. You're never too experienced in your faith to grow in grace. You'll have room to grow in grace till you meet Jesus, my friend. When He says grow in grace, He's talking to all of God's children during their whole duration on this earth. It doesn't matter if they've got 1 week left or 150 years left. He says grow in grace. So how do I know? How do I grow in grace? What are some things I can do? Here's three quick thoughts here, okay? Three quick thoughts. We're in a computer age, and I'm not Mr. Computer, but I'll use a term. Download the truth into your heart. Download the truth into your heart. You know what that means. Whoa! This is a living book, not a dead book. Let me give you some scripture for that. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The apostle said, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord that I serve the law of God with my mind. Or with the mind. With the mind I serve the law of God. He said the mind. He didn't say his. You go back to Romans 7:25, take a good look. He didn't say his. With the mind. He said, I get the mind of God in me. So I know how to serve. So I can see like He sees. So I can respond like He'd have me to respond. Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Download the truth into your heart. Romans 7:14, we read it. The law is spiritual. That means life-giving. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I reckon most everybody in the room wants life and peace. Again, download the truth into your heart. Joshua 1:8. God tells Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." You say, "I don't know if I believe that." Well, fine, you miss out. But the people who believe it and receive it and try it, they're going to say, "It works! It works! It works!" I guarantee you. Psalms 119, verse 9. Again, what do I need to do to grow in grace? What do I need to do to... God has given me the opportunity to help myself. What do I need to do? I need to download the truth into my heart. Psalms 119:9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Soap and water make a fella smell like he oughter." Psalms 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." There's all kinds of scripture to deal with this, but download the truth in your heart. Number two, determine to remove yourself from temptation. Determine to, hey, listen. If you're hanging around a bunch of rattlers, and you want to avoid getting bit, you remove yourself. Just plain common sense. That's country boy sense there. Nick, even you could figure that out. I was playing golf with Jeff Hale about 10 years ago at Capitol Golf Course in Corrigan. I think we both hit our ball into the water. And down to the creek, as you approach the creek, all kinds of rocks. Walk down there. Zing! I said, "That water can have my ball." Yes, indeedy. Romans 13:14 says, "Make no provision for the flesh, neither the lust thereof." So what do you mean? That means if you've got an alcohol problem, don't be hanging around people drinking booze. Don't keep it in the cupboard. You got a smoking problem, don't keep your cigarettes around on hold. You got a pornography problem, don't keep that opportunities around you to watch that nonsense. You remove yourself from temptation. Yes. So, how do I improve myself? Download the truth into my heart. Determined to remove myself from temptation. James 1:13 says, "Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Friend, you got a problem with chocolate cake, you're worried about your weight and all of that, and yet you go to Titus Donuts. Titus would make a gain of you, by the way. You go to Titus Donuts every week just to smell the coffee. Friend, that's not going to help you. He's meddling now. No, I'm just trying to give you some common sense here. There are things we got to remove from our lives. There might be some music. Listen, there might be some music you need to remove from your life. Hey, let's not have our head in the sand syndrome here. There's music out there that is absolutely filthy, vile, and ungodly. And yet people say, "I don't listen to the words." Yeah, but the words are going in your brain. I mean, they just... Matter of fact, on our drive home from Florida, when we were practicing the lip sync love song, I said, "Honey, I want to check this song out. Check this song out. Check the words of this song." It was a song that when I was a teenager, I listened to. I thought, "That's a cool song," and all that. And I thought, the words, my heart was grieved when I saw the words. Honestly grieved. And I'm telling you, friends, we need to be mindful what we put in. It's going to come out. Number three, I said download the truth into your heart. Determine to remove yourself from temptation. These are steps to help yourself in your service for God, your Christian growth. Number three, depend upon Christ for strength and deliverance. Matthew 24, verse 41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is. Finish it. It's weak. In Matthew 6, verse 9 through 11, some people know it as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer. The Lord's teaching people to pray, teaching His disciples to pray. He says, when you pray, say this, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And," can you finish it? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You know, there's a lot of things you and I can remove ourselves from, and the devil can still throw temptations out there. He is called the tempter. And so if we're praying, if we're dependent on the Lord, He can give us strength and give us guidance and protection to deliver us from things we didn't remove. I say depend upon Christ for strength and deliverance. I would add to that, if you're going to depend upon Christ for strength and deliverance, you better be around His people. You need accountability. You need to be around us. If you're going to depend upon Him, you say, what do you mean? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there, can you finish it? Am I in the midst. We need each other. There's a reason people who've been faithful for a time quit, drop out. You know why? They don't want accountability. They don't want to feel bad about sin. This is very basic, but it's so important for you to get this. Father, bless the message. We took a while, Father. I pray that Your Spirit would help Your people to grasp this great truth from Your Word. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking.